Hello and welcome to episode 6 of Championship Horror Podcast. I'm your host, Matt.
And I'm Scott.
All right, guys, this week we're covering found footage movies. We're going to be listing our top 5 favorite found footage. Anyways, we're going to kick off with some current events. Scott, what you been watching, man? Anything good?
Oh, what the hell did I watch? Well, I've been watching a lot of found footage. Good and bad. I don't know. I watched something that I liked, but okay. So I watched the He-Man thing on Netflix.
Of the Universe or whatever?
Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, where, spoiler alert, He-Man dies in the first fucking episode. And then...
Is this a new series?
Yes.
I haven't even heard of it.
Like, they've been getting lit up about it, which... What is his name? Kevin Smith?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah. Anyways, yeah. So I guess it's his project or something like that. So, yeah, he's been coming very defensive about it because people have been criticizing the fact that he basically turned it into a story about Teela, which, I mean, I guess is all right, even though he promoted it as He-Man lovers or He-Man fans, basically falsely promoting it because He-Man's, like, not in it until, spoiler alert again, he gets resurrected at the last episode, and then, spoiler alert again, he gets stabbed by Skeletor at the end, too. So it's kind of like, what are you doing, man? Seriously? Right. It's not well put together. They're just throwing... And I don't have a problem with any of that stuff. She-Ra and stuff like that. They were meant there to... have the female version of the thing. He-Man was its own thing. She-Ra was its own thing, even though they were like basically from the same universe, right? You don't have to kill off He-Man and then just have like some offbeat thing to say, hey, well, we're going to step aside He-Man here. And then since we need to throw a little women power into the whole situation or whatever. I mean, yeah. I'm pretty sure that if She-Ra's boyfriend said, hey, why don't you stand off to the side and let me take over? I'll show you how it's done. People would have a lot of problems with that too, right?
Yeah, I assume so.
Yeah, so.
All good, buddy. You been watching anything else?
I guess I watched a little bit of wrestling this week. CM Punk came out of retirement yesterday.
Yeah, how was that?
It was good. I mean, he didn't wrestle or anything. He just... proclaimed himself to be out of retirement. He's on AEW now, so.
Dude, I stopped watching when I think WWF became like WWE or something. It was like 20 years ago, dude. I think I was in like 7th grade when I stopped watching.
Yeah, that's kind of around the time when it pretty much went downhill. It's horrible now, but you know, I'll go by and watch like maybe couple of videos here and there of like highlights and stuff. There was one night me and Carla were, well, Carla was sleeping and I was laying in bed and I'm like, there was nothing on TV. It was like on a Monday. I'm like, I'm going to flip down and see what's going on WWE. And I can't think of what her name was. The red haired chick. You know, I have no idea. Anyways.
I don't know. I know like Kane and like, what's the Leatherface guy?
Oh, Mankind.
Yeah.
Oh, that's... They're
Stone Cold.
They don't wrestle anymore.
They don't? No. Oh, dude. See, that's how out of the loop I am on that stuff.
But anyways, I can't think of what her name is. Becky Lynch. That's what her name is.
Okay, yeah, I've heard her name.
Anyways,
before.
So she jumps in and like starts attacking Charlotte Flair or somebody or whatever. And these punches were not even coming close. I mean, there's a good foot and a half to 2 feet. And they tried to angle the camera so you couldn't see where she was throwing, but I was like, that's not even coming close. I said, this is horrible. And then the promos and stuff, I'm like, what are you doing? Seriously?
Well, I mean, it's always fake, but I mean, now it sounds like you can tell it's really fake.
The thing is that the office doesn't have any faith in the people that they're putting out there.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to program them themselves.
Okay.
So the thing is, it's falling short because they're allowing writers to write their promos instead of letting the wrestlers write their promos.
Oh.
And then, so it's basically coming off really poorly because if the wrestler's not invested in the actual storyline, then why do you think that they would even put 2 cents into what you're giving them?
You right.
know? So, but
they're becoming more like actors than.
Yeah, bad actors. Like, yeah. I mean, there's. B movies that have better acting than some of these people.
Nice.
So,
well, that was quite the tangent there, bud.
Yeah, well, hey, you asked. I told.
I did ask. I appreciate you. I appreciate you.
If you don't want to know, then don't ask.
I love when we get off on these tangents. It's awesome, man. Anything, yeah, well, even if it's not horror related, it's awesome.
Did you watch anything?
I've been watching a lot of shit, man. We started Dr. Death last night on Peacock. Have you ever seen that? It's a miniseries based on the true story of a guy who posed as a surgeon for several years in, like, Texas, I think. He operated.
I think I heard this is, like, a true story, right?
Yeah, it's based on, like, actual events. They had a documentary, I think, by the same name, Dr.
There's probably, like, an ID or something like that.
It's on Peacock.
Well, I'm saying there was probably a documentary ID or something like that.
Yeah, it's on Peacock also.
Oh, okay.
But, yeah, the dude operated on, like, 40-something people.
Right.
He, like, maimed and seriously injured, like, 33 people, like, because he was, I forget what kind of surgeon it was.
He was a bad actor.
Yeah, basically, essentially. I don't know how, this was recently, too. This was, like, 10 years ago. So, yeah. I don't know how this was allowed to happen. Like, that's what the miniseries goes into. Like, yeah. There were two other surgeons that were trying to stop him, and...
Right. Well, I think that was around the time, didn't they have, like, problems with doctors, like, putting people out or whatever and stuff, and then doing... obscene things to him also around the same time?
Probably, yeah. Like all the dentists like molesting little kids and stuff.
Yeah.
It was around...
Like, yeah. Because it seems like everything happens all at one time. It's like, hey, we just figured something out and then we'll just go after everybody anyways. But, you know, I mean, which is fine, but I'm just saying.
Right.
You know.
But this dude would like go in and operate, like try to remove like a herniated disc and something apparently that is super like routine and easy.
And he
would like make them... like quadriplegic, like paralyzed, and he even killed a couple people.
Right.
So it's pretty interesting, man. It was pretty solid. I can't wait to finish it. I also finished Blood Red Sky. Have you seen that yet?
Blood Red Sky.
It's on Netflix. It's a Netflix original.
No, I haven't seen it.
It's a movie about like these terrorists take over a plane, like hijack a plane.
Right.
And this woman is on there with her daughter. And she turns out she's like some form of like vampire. She's like some vampire creature, and she attacks like the terrorist people. It's pretty good.
No, okay.
It's pretty solid.
Yeah, right now my wife's watching, what is that movie or that TV show? True Blood.
Ah,
yeah, she's watching that right now.
So yeah, I mean I've never seen that movie, that show, but I've heard it's good.
It's good. It's kind of like vampire. It's kind of like a cross between like Supernaturals meets Game of Thrones meets Twilight or something like that.
That sounds terrible.
Well, it's got a lot of nudity, was what I was going with.
There you go.
The Game of Thrones part of it.
Yeah.
There's a lot of sex in it, and it's vampires, and then the atmosphere is more like a supernatural. Supernatural.
Like,
yeah.
Kind of vibe.
Yeah.
Cool.
So, you know.
That's awesome, man. I also watched Sharknado with my son, so that's always a good time.
Which one?
The original.
Oh.
Yeah, we just watched that today.
I got some on DVD, so if you need to borrow the other.
I don't have them on DVD.
I got a video of my granddaughter, Lily.
Yeah.
And she's like, I can't remember who was videotaping. It was either Gabby or Amanda. But anyways, the video is like, she's like, Shark. She's like, I Sharknado. And she was like literally like 5 years old or something like that.
That's awesome, dude. So,
yeah.
It's awesome. My youngest daughter loves them too, Mackenzie. She's 5, around the same age that she was, your granddaughter was at the time. So.
Yeah.
Awesome, man. You want to go ahead and get started on our list here, our top 5 favorite found footage movies? You want to kick us off there?
I can. Let's get into it.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. All right. Well, my number 5 is Jerusalem with the Z. And it's a 2015 movie. It's on Tubi, Vudu, and Amazon Prime. Directed by, and I'm going to butcher the hell out of these names, because most of them I think are like Jewish or something. Yayov Paz and Daron Paz, and starring Yael Grobelaz as Rachel, Okay, I'm just going to stop right there.
It's the Holy Land, man.
I can't read these names.
Butchering these names.
I know. That's why I'm stopping. So give some little respect to people and their names or whatever. But anyways, this movie's basically about a girl who, she's Jewish and she's going back to, she was going to Tel Aviv originally with one of her friends because her brother had died. And so she's just trying to get away and, you know, forget things for a little bit. And her dad gets her a pair of smart glasses, which these smart glasses are more technologically advanced than the smart glasses they have right now.
Yeah.
So they pretty much will pull up YouTube videos and this and that. Because I've looked and I have not found any smart glasses that actually do this. Because if they did, I would buy them for work.
Nice.
So anyways, it sets up the whole movie. It actually makes it really easy for you to have a like found footage type deal or whatever, because you're literally looking at the perception of somebody's glasses through the entire movie or whatever. So, you know, everything that she does is basically being videotaped or whatever. Anytime she looks something up or whatever is videotaped. And basically they are on an airplane and they start talking to this guy and he convinces them to come to Jerusalem because he's on this exploration and he knows something about this whole dead coming to life type deal or whatever. And he feels that there's something about to happen. And so they agree to go with them. They go over there and then they're having a good time. You know, he knows his way around apparently or whatever, this and that. And so they're going to all these parties and stuff. And then things just start going wrong or whatever. And then the dead start coming to life. And
that's always a good time.
Yeah. And they have like the Nephilim in there and this and that or whatever. It didn't get great reviews on it, but the storyline in and of itself, I mean, it kept you invested in it. The people that were in the movie kept you invested in it because they're likable people, you know. And it's kind of like, it was kind of like at the beginning, it was kind of like watching The Hangover. Not quite as funny, but it was like,
yeah,
you know, people having a good time or whatever, this and that. And then when shit starts going south or whatever, then you're like, you guys need to get the fuck out of here type deal. So, but anyways, I'm assuming that that was not on your list.
It is not. I've never seen that movie, so
it's a good,
I'll have to check it out.
It's a good watch. I've watched it like 3 or 4 times.
Nice. I have to check it out. Jerusalem?
Jerusalem.
Nice.
It's on like everything. It's on Tubi, Vudu, and Amazon Prime, so.
Is it on the, I assume it's free on Tubi and?
Yes, Tubi, okay, cool. Amazon Prime, yeah.
Cool.
And Vudu.
Awesome. My number 5 is Host from last year, 2020. It's on your list?
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about, is it your number 4?
Nope.
Okay, well.
Oh, well, no, you need to wait until it's mine, right?
Yeah, okay. We'll wait until it's yours.
Okay, well then we'll go to my number 4.
Sounds good.
My number 4 is The Blair Witch Project, the original.
Not on my list.
Not on your list.
Let's talk about it.
All right. So this movie is directed by Edward Sanchez and David Myrick. I find it funny that a lot, I mean, not necessarily this movie, but all the movies that, the majority of the movies that I've been watching or whatever, I guess it's just easier this way, but they use most of the time they use the people's real names.
Yeah.
Like even just if it's just their first name or whatever, I'm just like, mm-hmm. I guess it's just easier that way. But I'm like, yeah, that's super creative. But anyways, that's sorry. this was on Hulu right now as we speak. So it's about 3 people doing a project on, I mean, I probably really don't need to explain this because I'm pretty sure everybody has seen this movie.
Everybody's seen this movie.
Except for my daughter. But anyways.
Why hasn't your daughter seen it?
I don't know, dude.
She's like really into horror. This is like one of the, this is a pretty solid, you know, landmark film.
There's either
like
people that want to see it or there's people that just, since they know that it's an older movie, just are completely disinterested in it.
Yeah.
It's like me telling someone to watch the movie The Birds, because I love that movie.
The Birds is a solid flick.
No. The Birds.
Oh, The Birds. Oh, the Hitchcock?
Yeah.
No, I've never seen it.
Right.
So.
And it's a great movie. I love it.
Yeah.
There's plenty of suspense in it, so it was a great movie. It was probably one of the first major, actually, was it like the first, like true?
I think it was full, the first, like full. Yeah.
I mean, I know there's movies where they got video camera footage, but it's not necessarily like going all the way through the movie.
I'm pretty sure this was the first like wide theatrical release of a found footage movie. Right. I think this put it on the map.
Right. And if, you know, everybody's like, oh, it's real, it's real. Well, me and my buddy went and watched this movie and went to Kenwood Town Center, which I don't, is it still open? Yeah. Anyways.
Kenwood Mall?
Kenwood Mall.
Is it what yeah. it's called now?
I don't have any idea. But anyways, so we went and saw it. The last showing, because it was the last place that was actually playing it. So this is like when they were about to take it out of the movie theaters. And so we went and watched it, and I made him sit through the credits. I'm like, all right, I'll prove it to you that it's not real. He's like, at the very end, it says, all the characters in this movie are fictional and this and that. It's like, that right there proves it to you. I said, it's fucking fictional. It's like, so if you ever question a movie, it'll tell you that the characters in the movie are fictional in the credits. If it's a documentary, you don't have to say that the people in this movie are fictional.
But this wasn't a documentary, though. Think about how a documentary is set up, and then think about how found footage is set up. It's
too a lot of the times. Any coincidences in this movie or people is merely
I don't remember that.
Yeah, it's at the end.
I haven't seen this movie in years. I remember liking it, but it's you don't see anything in the entire movie.
Right.
That's what I have a problem with.
And this is what I heard, and it was in one of the, I don't know if it was a video or whatever that I watched, but they were talking, or it was like, it was either in a video or if it was an interview or something like that, where they were talking about that there was actually a scene where they were supposed to have a video of the witch. Or a section, what they were doing was, is the people would go to sleep, right? And then they would wake up the next morning with directions, like in like sheet notes or whatever and stuff or whatever. And then they would go back in their cabin or their tents or whatever and then crawl back out and act, do whatever, you know, because they were being directed. But there was actually nobody standing there.
Yeah.
You know.
They just sent these people out in the middle of the woods, essentially, with a camcorder, like a handheld,
Right.
Yeah. But
then they would give them notes throughout the time. I think somebody was out there just dropping notes off and stuff like that at their tents.
Yeah.
So there was a point into that conversation that I was getting at.
It had something to do with what I was saying. I don't see any. The movie doesn't show anything at all.
Oh, okay. Yeah. But anyways, and there was a scene in there where that I think she was supposed to pan over when they were running through the forest with the camera.
Yeah.
At one point in time, she was supposed to pan over to one side. Well, she didn't pan over far enough, and there was something over there that was supposed to resemble the witch.
Oh, gotcha.
And she completely missed the shot.
Yeah.
But the thing is that they say it probably worked out better in their favor because what you don't see is even better than what you do see.
Right.
So, but...
I'll give you that. It kind of felt like you were alone. I went to see this. My mom dragged me to the movie theater to see this.
She?
I think I was like 99. I was probably 11 or 12.
Oh, so you can.
My mom was real big into like true crime.
Oh,
and so she thought this movie was real. So she thought she because I remember the marketing on this movie.
Right.
They had like missing posters. Everything.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
oh, they had an internet thing because that was when internet first started really hitting out.
This is the infancy of the internet.
Yeah. So they had a book I bought from, I'm sorry, but they had a book that I bought from the library that had all this stuff in it and stuff. And I read through all of that and it was like super insane.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're good. I just remember seeing like the missing posters.
Yeah.
So it was, I don't know. It was good advertisement. It was,
it
built up a lot of hype.
That was like the first big internet thing too, besides porn probably.
But
that was America Online, like 10 minutes to download one picture.
Yeah, no shit, dude. That was years ago.
I'm dedicated. But the book, like they had this whole segment in the book or whatever where the tapes were found was when, what was it? It said something along the lines of that the tapes were found in the ground where the actual cabin used to be. Or whatever and stuff, and that it was like actually they're like saying that there was no way that would have actually been able to be under the ground because it was under boards and stuff that had been sitting there for like 50, 60 years or whatever and stuff like that. So it was like it's always been there, but it's not.
Yeah, that makes sense.
So, but anyways, but the reason that I put this video on my list is for the simple fact that I like to think of, there's a video on YouTube, or it's Film Theories.
And is that the YouTube channel?
It's called The Film Theorists is the YouTube channel.
Okay.
Okay. And the premise is there is no witch. So the thing is it goes through this whole scenario about how she dated Josh and then she broke up with him and then she convinces Josh and Mike, who she doesn't even know Mike,
yeah,
to come out in the woods and do this whole big project for no fucking reason whatsoever except for a project or whatever and stuff, right?
Yeah.
And not giving them any money or anything like that or whatever and stuff. And then they're talking about the map and the compass and this and that and how they're playing off it. And then when she starts getting to a certain spot where they start going in a certain direction for a certain period of time, they all just stop. Like, no, we're not going to. And then they start going off in a different direction or something. No, we're going this way. So, like, they know where they're at. They're just keeping her from getting back. And then when Josh disappears, then it's her and Mike. And Mike, who's basically been a chicken shit the entire time, when they finally hear Josh's voice and run after him, Mike's like, he's over here. And then he runs up the stairs, right? And he knows where Josh is at. So he runs up the stairs. He's like, I'm going upstairs. And he's publicly announcing where he's going. So then when he goes up the stairs, she follows him up. And as she's coming through the hallway, he turns around. He's like, I'm going back downstairs. And then he goes all the way down the stairs into the basement, right? He's in the basement. So he goes and then just stands in the corner. And then she sees him and then she gets clobbered from behind, which is Josh, sorry, can't speak. Anyways, which is the whole film theory that those two take her out to the woods to kill her ass.
I mean, I buy into it.
Yeah. I mean, they do a really good job of putting it all together. Yeah. I did a really crappy job of explaining all that, and they go into account of all the things that happened throughout the entire process.
Yeah.
But it's like, yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
Because if you think about it, you don't see anything at all during the movie.
Right.
So the fact that they would fabricate the story that they have to go out here and do this project, you know.
Yeah. So if anybody's interested in watching that, it is on The Film Theorist, and the title is Film Theories, Blair Witch's Secret Killer.
I'm going to check it out. I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to watch it.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I like it. I enjoyed it. That's what changed my mind about Blair Witch Project altogether. I mean, I still liked it, but it made it better. Made it better than it was.
Yeah. All right, guys. My number four is Cloverfield from 2008. Cloverfield. Is that on your list?
Nope. No, it's not.
All right, Cloverfield 2008, directed by Matt Reeves, starring Lizzie Kaplan, T.J. Miller, Odette Annabelle, Jessica Lucas, Mike Vogel, and Robert Stahl David. Essentially, this movie is about a group of friends celebrating another friend's promotion at work. They're having this party, you know, in a skyrise condo / penthouse, whatever it is. I don't know. It's in downtown New York somewhere.
Right.
Okay. Anyways.
I don't think they were up that high, though. I mean, they were up high enough that they could see, but I don't think they're not on the top of the building, so I don't think it's a penthouse or nothing.
Okay. I just know that it was in a skyrise building, but I don't know what floor they were on. So,
well, they had like a balcony, the fire escape. They were out on the fire escape, so.
They're out celebrating this promotion. He's moving to like Tokyo or somewhere in Japan, I think.
Where the money's at.
Right. Anyways, a sudden explosion happens, and, you know, they feel an earthquake. So they run out to they run up to the top floor, and then they run out to the street, you know, figure out what's going on. Anyways, they find out, you know, this huge creature is kind of attacking New York City, and that's pretty much it, man. That's the premise of the movie. There's a bunch of little creatures kind of breaking off.
Especially wasn't that like in the sewer system or the subway or something?
Yeah, kind of. They were underground for a good chunk of the movie.
Yeah. Well, that's where the suspense really was at, because the bigger creature, I think. They kind of played it off as if it was Godzilla, didn't they? Kind of do that deal or something?
Yeah, kind of, that's how they marketed it, because yeah. I remember this kind of sort of had the same marketing as
Blair Witch Project. There was a rumor going around that it was like actually Godzilla or whatever, but it wasn't associated with any of that either. So
I remember the marketing of this movie. They had a website and everything.
Yeah. The Cloverfield series or whatever.
I didn't like the sequels. I didn't like Cloverfield, 10 Cloverfield Lane or the Cloverfield Paradox.
I didn't like it. It wasn't 10 Cloverfield Lane was all right. I think that if there was more outdoors in that movie, it would have made a little bit more impact, but it's like all like you're in a bunker and you're just dealing with this madman for the majority of it.
John Goodman did play a good madman though. I'll give him that.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
But then you go out and it's I don't know. I just didn't enjoy it. It was
yeah, and I didn't watch the Paradox at all. Did you watch the Cloverfield Paradox stuff?
Yeah. I think I started it and fell asleep, so.
No. Well, then.
Doesn't say much, but.
Right. Well, I was told, you don't even bother, because it's really not going to make me have. Well, most people know how I feel about horror movies.
So yeah.
They know whether I'm going to like something or not, and most people are correct.
Well, I don't know. Cloverfield, it had a big budget. Obviously, it's a J.J. Abrams film, like all his movies do, pretty much.
Right.
So. It had plenty of, CGI, but it was good CGI.
Right.
Sorry, that was the laptop.
Oh, okay.
Because they had the millions of dollars to throw at it, you know.
Right.
But it was good. This is the movie. I went to see this movie in theaters with my buddy Eric, and this is kind of what got me into found footage. It was...
I enjoyed the movie. It was good. I didn't put it on my list of the top five, but...
Yeah.
But, I thought it was well put together. And then, I mean, there was a lot of shakiness in the camera, but when it was still, it was still. So that you could
set the camera down, type still.
Right. So the thing was is that you're not always bouncing around getting that, like, seasick motion. Although when that helicopter was going down, I'm like, I'm getting a little panic right here.
Yeah, that's at the end of the movie.
Anxiety thing going on. Yep. I'm like, all right, this is what it feels like to go down in a helicopter.
It did feel like... what I imagine going down in the helicopter would feel like.
Right. There go my helicopter trips that I'll ever take.
I have never once been on a helicopter, and I don't anticipate that I will anytime soon.
Right. That's, yeah. Yeah. Most you'll do is deal with them at work.
That was my number four, right? 2008?
Yes.
Cloverfield. On to Scott's number three.
My number three is The House That October Built, which was in 2014. It is on... Tubi and Hulu. Director is Bobby Rowe. It stars Brandi Schaefer, Zach Andrews, Mickey Rowe, and Jeff Larson, and also Bobby Rowe. He's an actor also in the movie. Basically about these people that go out on the, they're doing like a, were they doing a blog or like a YouTube thing or whatever? Anyways, they were just recording all these different haunted houses or whatever. I think they were going to put it on the internet somehow.
Yeah, they were just doing like a haunt-to-haunt type tour. They were just visiting different haunts all across the U.S.
This was not on your list, right?
It's not on my list.
Okay, I'm just making sure. I just started talking. I was making...
No, it's... I think I liked our... I think we have the same number one, which kind of follows suit.
Yes.
But it's a way better movie, I think.
Well, your number five was my number two, so...
Okay, well, all right.
Anyways.
We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about that later. But anyways, the premise of this movie was basically they were kind of disrespecting one of the...
One of the actors?
Yeah, basically, yeah. Or whatever, and stuff like that. And then the other actors at these haunts got pissed off at him or whatever and basically let him out into the desert somehow, kind of like... Over a three, it was a 2 or 3 day period or whatever.
It was like a weekend type deal.
Yeah, and then basically wound up burying them, dispatching them one by one, and then burying them. And that's all I can really say about that, because if you go to the second movie, it ruins the entire first movie. Which, if I had the second movie right now, it would be my beer coaster, because I hated the fact that they just ruined the first movie for me.
I've never seen the second one.
The second one wasn't
even
that great. And then they were just, because it got good reviews, the first one did. It's
right.
Like, oh, we got to go off. But we can't come up with anything original, so we'll just go ahead and
we'll piggyback off this.
Yeah, we'll use the same people and this and that and blah, blah, blah. And I'm just like, really? Are you serious? And that's the only reason that I don't like the second one at all, because it basically null and voided the first one. And but yeah, the aspect of the whole, like the atmosphere in the first one was great. You know, the little small girl with the mask on or whatever and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was creepy as fuck, you know. All that other stuff or whatever, and then
there
the
were
haunts,
some
haunts were great and stuff like that. You know, they had good atmosphere in it, and it felt like it. Like, I'm sure that, I don't know, I didn't research it, but I'm sure that they actually went to actual haunts or something.
I think they did visit actual like haunted houses across the United States. Yeah,
right. Yeah. So it was probably like legitimate places that they were doing their own scenes for this movie or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, it would probably have been a lot cheaper doing that, too, so you'd have to pay for a whole bunch of extras.
I don't know, man. Have you been to a haunted house recently? It's fucking expensive to get in.
Yeah, well, you know. You know, I went to Fairfield, and we had, at our Indian summer days, we had a haunted house there at our festival or whatever and stuff, along with all the rides and stuff. Like, it was like a carnival deal. But they had one of them big drop-off haunted houses and stuff. And I'll tell you what, there was no lights in there whatsoever. And it was basically, you're walking down these corridors where, like, there's little things that, like, neon stuff on the walls and stuff. And you step on one of them pads, and that shit would scare the fuck out of you. It's like jump scares galore. And I'm like, that's probably more terrifying than some of these haunted houses that I've been to. And no offense to WEBN. But I went to three of them, and I'm like,
EBN, which one is that?
That's Dent Schoolhouse.
Okay. That one's okay. It's okay. It's a cash crop is all it is.
Yeah, man. And they publicize it as the number one in the nation, and I'm like,
they put it on the list every year.
Dude, I've been to the one at Kings Island like three or four times. Dude, they scared the fuck out of my wife. Carla was like shitting on herself. And I even set him up a couple times, too.
It's funny when you go with, you know, with your wife or, you know, your significant other, and then you tell them her name, like, oh, I'm with Jackie. Jackie's behind me. And then the actors throughout the haunt, you know, they're passing along, you know.
Right. Oh, no, we went to, like, the haystack one or whatever and stuff, and she's walking, and I see this guy coming, and I'm like, and I look this way, and it's, you know, my wife's automatically going to look. Because we're, like, standing next to each other. And this dude, like, comes, like, right up beside her and scares the shit out of her. But we were trying to figure out where we were going next. And this is before, I don't want to say before cell phones were real big, but they didn't have a lot of data on them. So you can't just pull up the Kings Island map on your phone or whatever and stuff and see where the next haunted place was or which one was where. So we're, like, staring at this map, which was, like, right above this booth, or, like, not booth, but, like, a thing or whatever. And me and my wife were just, like, trying to read it because it's dark outside and there's no lights. This dude sticks his head between both of us, and he's got, like, this mask on or whatever, and he's like, bleh. And we both look at him because we're, like, he's, like, literally his head's right in between both of ours, and we both look at him, and we just start laughing. And I think that pissed him off.
Yeah, they get upset when you don't get scared, man.
Oh, no, that was not scary at all.
That was your number three, right?
That would be, yes.
All right, on to my number three, which is Found Footage 3D. I already know this isn't on your list, so I'm going to go ahead and rattle it off here.
I didn't say it was bad, but...
I know, you didn't say it was bad. It's good. I mean, there's a lot of good found footage, and there's a lot of bad found footage. This is a subgenre that is... You either love it or you hate it, I feel like.
Well, I think it's a storyline that what you're drawn to on this. You're more drawn to the storyline and stuff, and which is fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with that or whatever and stuff. I just don't relate to the storyline, and then I think some of the characters are a little ill.
Some of the characters are, yeah. I'll give you that, but I mean...
And it was a little campy at some points in time. What are you talking about?
I love camp. What are you talking about?
No, I'm talking about too campy. Not just campy. a little too campy.
Get out of here. There's no such thing as too campy.
Yeah, sci-fi movie campy.
Get out of here. Anyways, found footage 3D, directed by Steven DeGennaro, starring Carter Roy, Alexander von Stroheim, Chris O'Brien, and Scott Allen Perry. Anyways, this movie is pretty much about a group of friends making the very first found footage movie in 3D. They wanted to do something unique, you know, so the 3D was it. It's pretty silly when you think about it, like a found footage movie in 3D, but it works. I've never seen the 3D. I've only seen the 2D version.
I gave you the glasses.
I know, but they didn't have it. I watched the 2D version.
They had it on. They had both versions on there.
I only saw the 2D.
I told you they had both versions on there.
Well, I'll have to look for it.
I'll tell you what, though. It kind of gave me a headache.
Yeah. So I don't think red-blue?
Yeah, I don't think it was put together quite right.
Right. That's what they said. Even I listened to a podcast where this Steven DeGennaro, like the director, he wrote and directed this movie.
Yeah, I don't think it was separated enough. I think it was too close together.
He said it was meant to be watched by, you know, a 3D TV. It wasn't meant for the glasses, but he said the glasses would work in a pinch.
Right.
They have two different versions out, so.
It was rough.
Yeah. But he said it was filmed for, like, the 3D televisions.
Yeah, no, it was. But, it didn't do good with the red and the blue.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm still down to check it out, so.
Yeah. I mean, the thing was is that I would watch it, and it was fine for a while, and then your eyes would start hurting. So I'd take the glasses off and just pause the movie.
Yeah.
And then I'd just go do a couple things. And then you'll have to forgive us. House of Pain is going on upstairs.
House of Pain, something is going on upstairs. Anyways, yeah, this movie, they're making the very first found footage movie in 3D. It's silly. And the footage that we're seeing is kind of the behind-the-scenes documentary type deal. So that's what we're watching. They go to a remote cabin in the woods to film their movie that they're making. And it turns out the cabin is actually haunted. So creepy shit starts happening. The entity from the movie that they're making actually comes out into the real world.
Right.
You know, this movie is kind of like a mix between
Paranormal Activity. And
not Paranormal Activity.
I mean, it's not. It's
it
not
was on your video. List. Blair Witch Project and Roach Scream. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Blair Witch Project and Scream is what it's a meta commentary is what it is. It's essentially it's making fun of found footage movies. But it is a serious found footage movie. Like there was parts in this movie where I was seriously creeped out.
Well, the thing is that the actual footage that you would normally see where they're editing stuff or whatever, it looks like a normal footage, like a regular shot. But then the the backstory line where they're like doing the directing and this and that and blah blah blah, and he's bullying his ex or whatever and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Know, that I don't think it came off as like genuine acting. I think it was a little short on it. I don't think the acting was that great when it came to that.
I think
that's what I was really hung up about was the acting on that.
Outside. I feel like it gets confused between like the movie that they're filming and the actual movie that we're watching, like the behind the scenes documentary. Like,
I know what you're saying. Yeah, I can see that.
It's because they switch back and forth a lot because it actually comes like the movie that they're making comes to fruition. Like it's.
Right.
And then they call everything out. Like,
yeah.
There's a bunch of jump scares that they essentially call out. Like, they say, hey, we're going to do this, but you're not going to be expecting it.
Right. I think that the volatile relationship kind of turned me off on the movie, too. Because, like, one minute they're arguing and he's threatening her, and then they're off somewhere screwing and shit like that.
Right.
And he's talking to the other chick. I was like, okay. All right. Whatever.
Right. That relationship was weird, but
yeah. So it was, I think that, you know, my more downside of the whole thing was maybe some of the acting and some of the storyline where I get it. They want to add drama to the whole thing or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's a little bit better when you have like more of a cohesive unit too, because if they're going to band together instead of like fight each other, then you're actually want to root for one force instead of
that was part of the movie though. Like they're, you know, they're distraught. They're, you know, they're argumentative.
Well, the one dude didn't even give a shit. The main director, dude, a tornado could be coming down. Like, go out there and hang your, put the fucking umbrella up.
The blonde dude, or like the guy playing the husband?
The husband. No, not the guy playing the husband. The guy that was the director or whatever. The one.
Yeah,
that
the blonde dude with the glasses?
Yeah. Because he didn't care about nobody's.
Right, he didn't. You're correct. But it still worked for me, though. You know what I mean?
I mean,
they brought
that extra in toward the end or whatever, and he just, like, dies right away. You're like, really?
Well, he wasn't really an extra. He was an actual film critic. Scott Weinberg or something?
I guess he actually wrote
for Fearnet.
Oh, okay. Well, fuck.
So that was an actual publication that I think by the time this movie got done, by the time they stopped filming it, it was, like, kaput. It went under. But yeah, he was an actual film critic. So
I didn't know that.
Part of the movie that I liked. Like, they actually brought somebody from the real world into this, you know, kind of, you know, fake found footage like type deal.
Right.
Like, it was essentially what this movie is. It's the Blair Witch Project meets Scream. That's exactly what it is. That's the only way I can describe it. Like, it's
right. Well, sort of like, what was it? The movie Followed. Did you ever see that one?
I didn't see that one.
Okay. Well, they use a guy that's an actual YouTube guy that does all this. I don't know if he does like horror movies or if he does like paranormal stuff or whatever and stuff, but he's an actual YouTube guy.
Yeah.
But he does the opening segment and the ending segment of it or whatever, and they're like reviewing it type deal or whatever and stuff like that. And so they bring it as a legitimate type deal or whatever. That's always cool when they add somebody that's playing themselves as in the role that they would normally play in this scenario.
Yeah.
So. Anyway.
Plus the sound guy, Carl, was super funny, I feel like. All right, we're on to Scott's number two.
My number two is Host. Wasn't that your number four?
It was my number four or five, yeah.
Something like that. Okay, director is Ryan Savage, starring Haley Bishop, Evan, I don't know. I can't remember.
Stars Haley Bishop, Gemma Moore, and Emma Louise Webb.
Thank you, I appreciate
this
that.
This is a movie from 2020, from the beginning, like the middle, sort of the pandemic last year?
Yes.
Maybe? Yeah. It capitalized on the...
whole everybody being in the house, staying at the house.
Yep, it capitalized on the quarantine, the boom, and the the Zoom service. I don't know if you've ever had a Zoom meeting at work. It makes this movie extra spooky.
Well, you know, I mean, especially if you're watching it on a computer, you actually feel like you're probably doing it then.
Probably, yeah. I should probably watch this on my laptop tonight because I've never watched it on my laptop. That's a good idea.
Yeah. Well, my number one, they say that you should watch the first one that is on my list on your laptop because it's like... makes you feel like you're watching a movie that you're not supposed to watch.
That makes sense.
And so, yeah, which I'm pretty sure we both have the same number one.
Me too, I'm pretty sure.
But anyways, so, but yeah, no, they do a seance over a Zoom meeting.
Yep.
And so the one girl sets this whole deal up, you know, she's taking it seriously or whatever. Obviously, one of her friends is not taking it seriously. And then... couple of the other people are a little weirded out about it. There's obviously issues in the background, this and that or whatever. And so the one girl decides to make up a story, which is basically disrespecting the spirits after they start doing the seance. And apparently they're opening the door up for anybody to come in and do whatever the hell they want. And... shit hits a fan and everything gets fucked up and people start to dying.
The fact that this movie like pulled together, you know, like during the pandemic, like as quickly as it did.
Oh yeah.
Like I feel like they just were right on it, dude. Like
they must have had some kind of script or something already pre-made about something different.
And I heard they didn't, though.
They didn't?
I heard they didn't. I heard he wrote it in, like, less than 2 weeks or something.
Oh, then he was on it.
I don't know, man. This movie was kind of spooky, especially coming from someone that,
It's very well put together. Very well put together.
It capitalized on the, the quarantine aspect of the pandemic last year. Zoom, obviously became a huge thing.
Yeah. We were supposed to do it for like Christmas or something last year, and I'm like, no, I'll call my grandma in Florida, and then if you guys want to come over for Christmas, that's fine. Other than that,
yeah,
good. So,
well, I have to do it for work, so it's an unfortunate, sorry. It's an unnecessary evil, a necessary evil.
Yeah, well, you know, yeah, the pace was really good in the movie too. It wasn't a long movie, which, you know, I mean, since they had put a lot of stuff into a short period of time, it kept you interested the entire time too.
Right. It wasn't even really like a theatrical release. It felt more like an extended short film is what it felt like to me.
Yeah. Like, but it was so well done though that you didn't realize that you're watching something. I mean, it kind of reminded me of that, was it Followed or not Followed? Unfriended.
Unfriended? Yeah, yeah. It was a lot like that, but
except for a lot less.
It was a lot shorter, for one.
A lot shorter, and then there was a lot less going back and forth and trying to read people's
messages
and this and that and blah, yep, blah, blah. I was like, man, I don't want to go through all that. And this is basically straight out in front of you.
Cut and dry.
Everything you see. There's no text messages, stop this and that or whatever. You know, it's basically everybody's looking at everybody else's computers and stuff like that. They set it up really well. There's a scene where they got like a... she put basically a wallpaper type deal or whatever, where she would like
the face.
Yeah. Well, no. Where she would run through and it would be like a cycle. So she had videotaped the background where it would be like her walking through the room. And so, yeah, her friends all thought that she was okay. It was like, hey. And then she's walking through the room, but actually she's being tormented in the back.
She's getting her head smashed on the table.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. That was my favorite kill.
Was that your favorite kill?
That was my favorite. Have we been doing favorite kills this entire time?
We didn't do favorite kills, but a lot of times, especially with these found footage movies, there's really not like kills, you know.
All right, man. Yeah, that was your number two, host. My number five, by the way. All right, my number two is Frankenstein's Army from 2013, directed by Richard Rapphorst. Starring Carol Roden, Joshua Sassi, Alexander Murphy, and Robert William. Essentially, man, this movie is about a troop of Russian soldiers behind enemy lines in Germany. They're searching for prisoners of war, you know, Russian prisoners of war.
Right.
You know, Stalin orders this photojournalist to document the mission, essentially, is what it's about. That's why you have that opening monologue, you know, of the Russian guy filming himself.
Right.
You know, my name is da 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 da. I've been ordered da 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 da. Pretty much, yeah. Anyways, they, they're trekking across the countryside or whatever, and then they come across this building. It's, I believe, an abandoned church, and they start finding all these weird things. They find a pile of dead nuns that have been burnt, okay?
Right.
And then they proceed into the building, and they find all these sort of resurrected Nazi soldiers, if you will. But they're not really doing anything. They're just hanging out. And then the guy flips a switch, and all of a sudden, these guys come to life, okay?
So they're kind of like in a state of, like, not doing anything, and then...
It's robot zombies, if you will.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Okay? It's
So, that makes sense with the Frankenstein whole deal.
Zombots.
Yeah.
We'll call them that. We'll call them zombots. They're essentially, you know, it's...
Half of the regenerated stuff from, what the hell is that series called? Resident Evil.
Sort of, but not really. It's not like a T-virus or anything. It's literally... No,
but they would just... It's like, literally... They would do all the computer shit with the zombies and stuff like that or whatever. So
yeah, but this is literally like a mad scientist, which is a direct descendant of Dr. Victor Frankenstein from the original Dr. Frankenstein, the 1930 or 1931 movie.
Right.
He's a direct descendant from that guy. And, you know, he read about his uncles.
In real life? I'm just joking. Go ahead.
Yes, in real life. he read about his uncle's, you know, studies and, you know, his experiments. So he decided to create some of his own. And he just happens to be a Nazi scientist.
How old is this movie?
Not very. Maybe 9, 8 years old.
I bet you that Red versus Dead, the Dead Snow 2, they might have taken some of that from that thing. Because didn't they have like that one zombie who was like regenerating the other zombies?
This movie came out in 2013.
Oh, I don't know when Red versus Dead came out.
I don't know either, but it's a solid fucking flick, dude. Right. You have to watch it. It's it's solid.
You did just tell me it on Friday, so I haven't got around to watching it yet.
Yeah.
So,
but
that's why I did not make it on my list.
If you watch it, just watch it for just the creatures, like the zombies that I'm talking about.
Right.
Watch it for just that, okay? Because these creatures that, you know, they create are so unique and they're so creepy. It kind of reminds me of I don't know what to call it, man. They're just so unique, and it's all like practical Lovecraft effects. It's not really H.P. Lovecraft at all. It's just like they have taken people that died on the battlefield,
right?
Or, you know, they recently buried, and they dig them up, and they just do experiments on them. They tie like. They manufacture, zombies with, like a fucking chainsaw on one arm or something. Like, there's literally a dude that has a fucking, like a propeller engine. What do you call that? Like a
propeller?
It's essentially a propeller engine, like for his face, okay? For his head. Right. He has this fucking, like, B-52 fucking bomber face, okay?
Right.
And then they cut the fuel line because, you know, they're like, this is one of the zombies, okay?
Right.
He's got this face, and it's just this fucking propeller that's turning around. So they go up and they cut the fuel line. Fuel's leaking. The guy catches on fire, and he blows up, and the fucking propeller sticks in one of the fucking Nazis' head and kills him. And that's my favorite kill of this movie. It's so good, dude. Like, this is right up your alley. You can tell it's kind of low budget, but it hides it pretty well. Like, because all the special effects are, you know, they're practical. It's right. It's good, dude. It's good. Let me see if I have anything else to say about this before I edit this out. On to your number one.
My number one is going to be Hell House LLC from 2015. Is that your number one?
What a quinky dink. My number one is also Hell House LLC from 2015.
And it's on Amazon Prime.
And it's also on Shudder.
Is it on Shudder still? I thought the 2 and 3 were on Shudder, but I think the first one was still just on Amazon Prime.
No, it's on Shudder.
Is it on Shudder also?
Yeah.
The second.
Let's talk about it.
Second and third one.
It did spawn a trilogy, for sure.
Well, he had originally written it as a trilogy. But I don't think that they...
I didn't know that.
Yeah. He had an end game from interviews when the first one came out. He had an end game for the whole... But yeah. I think that they literally could have stopped at the end of this first one and said, this is the movie, and it would have made it that much better.
Yeah. I mean, the first one is my favorite. Second one was okay. Third one was really good.
I didn't think the third one was great.
I like the third one.
I like certain aspects of the third one, but that last ending scene, oh my gosh, dude.
Is that when they're in the basement?
Yeah.
Or is that the end of the second one?
In the end of the third one is when they have the final fight, and then it turns into the sci-fi special effects. We need to get back to the actual fucking real good movie.
Number one.
Yes, Hell House LLC. It's directed by Stephen Cognetti with Gore Abrams as Paul, Alice Balick as Diane, Danny Bellini as Alex, and Ryan Jennifer Jones as Sarah. Basically, this movie's about a group of people that came from, was it New York? And
they're a traveling haunted house, pretty much. Traveling haunted attraction.
They're pretty much in what you find out later. In financial ruins, Because
I thought their last one was pretty successful. I thought they were...
Alex pretty much fucked with all the money or whatever, and that's why they had to take the house, because in the second movie you find out that, which I don't really want to go into the second movie, but you find out that he had to take the house because it was free.
Okay.
So anyways, so the guy was giving it up for free.
That makes sense.
I don't care. If the shit that was going on in this place was going on, I will find a job at McDonald's and make my money back. I don't give a shit about your damn money.
Right.
But anyways, so they go and get this place in the middle of, did they actually put it in New Jersey?
I don't know if it was New Jersey or not, but it was somewhere.
Anyways.
I don't know the actual location, like, of the...
But anyways, it's an actual, in real life, it's an actual...
I don't think it is.
Yeah, it's a haunted attraction.
I don't think it is.
Yes, it is a haunted attraction.
The Abaddon Hotel?
The place that they used as a set is an actual attraction.
Oh, yeah, that it is. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, because the background story in this movie is that there was the main, like, the guy that was the one that was running the Abaddon Hotel originally.
Yeah.
Was doing witchcraft, and that he had a woman and her child in the place or whatever, and they disappeared. So partway through the movie, there's a scene where a woman is standing in a doorway, which is actually the lady that actually runs the place in real life. And then there's another scene where a girl is sitting in the bedroom when a light is turned on, and that is actually the daughter of the lady that actually owns the actual place in real life. She actually called off a school just so she can shoot that scene.
Okay.
So, but anyways, yeah. And then they have this, hellacious basement that the way this basement stairs looks, like, you couldn't pay me enough to go down these stairs.
Not at all.
No. I'm like, he's like, yeah, go on down there. Go ahead and go down there, turn to the right. Yeah, it should be on the right-hand side. I'm like, screw you, dude. You go down there.
Right.
So, I mean, it's one of the creepiest set of stairs that I've ever seen in my life. But the scares in this movie are set up sporadically throughout. And it actually, I think the less is more. I mean, there's no, like, super big jump scares in this movie, I don't think, to an extent, but, I mean...
I feel like they kind of are.
Yeah.
Like, in the basement?
I don't think they're really jump scares. They're more along the lines of, I don't know. I wouldn't consider them jump scares. Would you?
Yeah, I mean, I jumped. That's the...
Oh, okay.
I mean, when the, you know, the dude is, like, in the basement sitting with the dolls.
Right.
And, you know, the doll's looking forward, and then he pans away, and then he's looking back, and the doll's looking right at him.
Right. Well, that's not...
That was a jump scare.
That's not a jump scare. That's just basically, like, eerie. I mean, jump scare is when something jumps out at you and makes you jump.
Yeah, like a cat or...
Right.
I get what you're saying. Yeah, okay. All right. My argument is invalid.
The ending scene, which was actually played toward the beginning at a, they used part of the ending scene, and then they...
The mass chaos at the beginning of the movie.
Yes, and then they elaborated a little bit more with more videotape
footage. Entire movie is explaining what led up to the first 7 minutes of the movie, like the first five minutes of the movie, pretty much.
Basically, yes.
Right?
Yes.
Would you agree?
Yes, okay. I would agree. But they add a lot more because at the end of the movie, they actually have the actual regular footage that they show from.
Yeah. Plus, there is a sort of a twist to the movie.
At the end, yeah.
Yeah, at the end. I'm not going to give it away. I don't want to give it away.
Yeah.
Probably should. I mean, it's found footage. Everybody dies.
Yeah.
Because it's found footage. You know, it has to be found somewhere. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's one of the trips that found
footage. Well, this is all on people's cell phones and stuff, most of it.
Or I don't feel like it's on people's cell phones.
No, the beginning part is most... The opening scene is on from somebody's downloaded footage on YouTube from the cell phone.
Okay.
And then everything else was on the tapes that the one girl, Sarah, right? Yes, Sarah. Yeah. Sarah had dropped off after she was found later on. And then basically they were siphoning through everything. And I really don't want to give this movie away, which is why I'm really pandering of trying not to say too much. Because this is a great movie. And people should go out and watch it. I don't think it actually gets... Well, I mean, it gets the respect that it gets because the thing is that most people that actually watch this movie and review it or whatever usually pretty give it a pretty good rating and stuff like that. So,
yeah, it's a big movie. And if you're a horror fan, if you're listening to this podcast, chances are you've seen this movie.
Yeah.
It's big in the horror circles. But it is a solid one. That's why it's number one on my list. So,
yeah, definitely a solid movie.
Yep.
And then when I first watched this movie, did I tell you about that?
Uh-uh.
No? I didn't tell you about the first time I watched this movie?
I don't think so.
Okay. So, me, usually working 7 days a week, I had a weekend off. And everybody else, I was like, oh, we'll stay up and watch some movies or whatever. So everybody else is asleep by like 9 o'clock. So it's dark outside. And I'm like, I'm just going to scroll through Amazon Prime and see what's going on here. And so I'm scrolling through the blocks and I see this one up there. It's just a black box with Hell House LLC written in red, like how they do it on the side of the billboard or whatever. And so I was like, I wonder what that's all about. So I click on it. I watch the movie. I mean, it immediately, from the very beginning, the very opening scene or whatever, I'm like, I'm kind of like hooked a little bit. So I finished watching this movie, and the atmosphere in that movie creeped me out to the point where I was like, all right, well, I'm going to go outside and make sure all the vehicles are locked because I have garage door openers in the vehicles.
Yep.
Then I'm going to come back in the house. I'm going to lock all the doors. Then I'm going to go through every room in my house, turn the lights on, make sure nothing's in the closets. And I basically locked down the entire house and then watched SportsCenter for the next 2 hours just to get that shit out of my head.
I don't blame you, dude. It's creepy, man.
Especially when you're by yourself, because the thing is that I was in a room with people and they were all sleeping. So I can't converse with no one.
Right.
And so I'm like experiencing this basically by myself. So I was like, yeah, this is kind of fucked up. So, yeah. And so I'm going to protect everyone in this house. So it's my job and duty.
But nice.
Yep. That would be my number one, Hell House LLC.
Also my number one, Hell House LLC.